Welcome back. I'm Hal Eisner, another edition of What the Hal, and this is the third part of our serialization of what to do when you're hit with a massive earthquake. Now, we're in earthquake country, and we know these things can happen at any time, at any place. What we also know is there are three parts to dealing with an earthquake. One is preparing, two is surviving, three is recovering, and that's what our episode this time is all about. So, let me have you guys introduce yourselves.
Sushil Kumar, Public Information Officer, Small Business Administration, Office of Disaster Assistance. Thanks okay. for having us.
Jarrett Barrios, the Chief Executive here at the Red Cross in Los Angeles.
And, you know, we see the Red Cross on an awful lot of disasters. It could be a brush fire. It could be any number of things. You guys are always out there, you know, providing food, providing help, providing need, providing shelters for people who have to evacuate their homes. And so we all certainly know the Red Cross. I think the thing that's interesting about SBA is there's something about SBA I didn't know about, and that's its application to earthquakes. I'm going to explain that in a second. We're serializing the three most important aspects of dealing with an earthquake: preparing for it, surviving it, and recovering from it. This is the recovering segment, and this is where we're going to talk about the fact that you've had a quake. Everything is shaken. The room is all over the place. Your dishes are on the floor. You're screaming at your kids. It's a mess. We've been there. A lot of us have. And it's not fun. And once we assess the damage, now we got to figure out how to deal with all of that. SBA, I always thought of being an organization that really dealt with small businesses. Little did I know that if I needed help to get a loan, for instance, to help do something to my house, that I could get that from the SBA, and that could be a low-cost loan. That's right, right?
Absolutely correct. We are the largest source of funds for recovery post-disaster for not only homeowners and renters, but businesses of all sizes and most private nonprofits.
And do you think that gets lost because you're not the Small Business Home Administration, but you're the Small Business Administration, and so people don't think it's for the home?
We frequently have to dispel that notion that we're not only for businesses of all sizes, but also for homeowners and renters, for residences and personal property, so only for renters and for homeowners.
So anybody who's living in some place, whether you're renting it, leasing it, or buying it, you can get help from the SBA.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about this. We've had this earthquake. Everything's a mess. Now we got to recover. Talk to me from the Red Cross. What do we do?
Well, before there's recovery, there's the immediate aftermath of the earthquake. There are people, before they're looking to rebuild their homes, they don't have electricity, they don't have food.
And they may be out on the sidewalk with all their other neighbors in lawn chairs.
Right. Well, hopefully they'll be at their local Red Cross shelter.
Well, in my neighborhood, after Northridge happened, we didn't go to a shelter and we weren't evacuated from our homes, but I got to meet neighbors I didn't even know I had.
Absolutely. But in more heavily impacted neighborhoods where you're red tagged, you can't actually,
you're
not allowed to stay
in
your home.
Correct.
Now, there is an inequality in the way disaster affects here in Los Angeles as in anywhere, and this has been well covered in the news. People who have the economic resources will go to a hotel or they'll go to family out of state. But people who don't, who have no other recourse, we're there for them at the American Red Cross, and that tends to be a lot of our older residents who come to shelters. We have our partnerships with community colleges, with school districts, rec parks, so our shelters are all over the place, a lot of churches, and we will be there for them. We'll be able to feed folks, take care of them. We rely on our partners in the media to spread the word about where they can go. Even still, people will, a lot of times, even if red tagged, they'll choose to shelter in place. You see this with hurricanes, you see this with all kinds of disasters, and you see it in earthquakes.
When we rebuild, we talk about recovering. There's a lot more than just getting a loan or getting a shelter. There's probably getting a hold of your agent to find out if your insurance covers what you've got that you're looking at in the way of damage. There's determining what needs to be replaced. There's determining whether you have dangers around the house. Is there any leaking gas? Is there something you didn't think about, like turning it off with that gas wrench that everybody's so familiar with? What are some of the things that we don't think about that we should be thinking about? Let me start with you.
You know, for the Small Business Administration's piece, you know, we show up after the president declares it as a national disaster. So FEMA's with us. So they are the grants based side of the equation. We're on the low interest rate disaster loan. So for example, the most recent Woolsey fire, our interest rates were as low as 2% for homeowners and renters.
Can I borrow some money? I didn't have any fire damage, well, but I just want to know if I can borrow some money.
That makes you disqualified, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And for businesses, we're as low as 3.74%. No fees, no points, no closing costs, and no prepayment penalty. So with the program is for the uninsured and underinsured. So your question was, what do we want to think about? Take a look at your policy, see what your coverage is, right? And if you don't have any coverages, the program works for you. If you're underinsured, the program also works for you.
All right. And so we would go to the landing page, EQ headquarters.com, and we would find SBA located there.
That's correct.
We would find American Red Cross located there. All the agencies that have something to do with anything earthquake related would be located there. What else does Red Cross do besides provide shelters in disaster situations?
So well, we're doing a lot of things, but I just want to build on what Sunil just talked about, which is as people begin to kind of put their plan together about how they're going to recover, there are a lot of financial resources out there. And you'll hear in the environment, people, a lot of people are raising money to help earthquake victims. So where's all that money going?
Or is it a scam?
Where is well, hopefully it's not a scam, but
no,
you're
but
right.
You know that happens.
And how you absolutely right. does. Absolutely does. So in addition to FEMA assistance, for those folks who are citizens or have at least one citizen or legal resident in their household, they're eligible for FEMA financial assistance. Then there's SBA assistance. There's also a lot of direct cash gifts, financial assistance from nonprofits. So when the Red Cross, for example, raises money for a disaster, the first thing we pay for with the money we raise are the costs of running all those shelters. We also have vehicles that drive through the community and give out warm meals to folks. All of those expenses.
And you also help first responders.
And we support. We absolutely will support first responders feeding and often providing shelter after a major disaster. But after all of those bills are paid for, all of the rest of the money goes as financial assistance to the victims of that disaster. So if you were to write a check to the Los Angeles earthquake relief for the American Red Cross, after all our expenses paid, everything else goes to pay for financial assistance. And so, and it's not just the Red Cross or other organizations. Often you'll see the Salvation Army or Catholic Charities. A lot of our partners who do this work will do that. It can be a bit of a crazy to try to figure out who are all those folks. So one of the things we do at the Red Cross is we'll have a caseworker that you can work with who can connect you, not just to Red Cross assistance, but to all the other pots of money. Now, people, I just want to say one thing. People oftentimes, if you don't have financial need, you're going to go to SBA for your loan. You're going to get the FEMA assistance because it's government assistance. Not everybody needs to take the Red Cross assistance, and it's really there for people who need it most. But there are a lot of people who maybe they were underinsured or they didn't have. I mean, look, if you're not smart enough to have earthquake insurance from the California Earthquake Authority, you're going to be screwed after this earthquake.
But you know,
and you're going to need every dime.
What I think
you can
is important to cushion there is, and we talked about this in the preparation segment, is it's really, you know, earthquake insurance is good if you have a massive amount of damage. It's not so good if you have a small amount of damage.
I got to tell you, it's a spectrum. It's not one or the other. Okay, and if you have no earthquake insurance and your house was cracked, it may be $40,000 or $50,000. That's gonna more than pay for itself. And I gotta tell you, to go without means you are gonna.
But
be,
if you have a $500,000 house and you have a 10% deductible, you're not getting a penny.
Well, if so, that's not exactly how they do it. They cover the cost of the building, not the cost of the property. So it's going to be, we're going to get into math here if you'd like in a little bit. But so if you have a $500,000 house, like that's what you pay for, the cost of the building is probably going to, now I'm guessing here, it'll be $300,000, right?
You've got a nice building.
You've got, it's $300,000.
Mine's $3.
So you talk about 10% deductible, anything above $30,000 is going to get you there. It's going to help cover those costs.
Yeah.
But the real thing is you don't know if that's going to be red tagged, what it's going to cost, what you may want to do beyond that. Earthquake insurance, if you can afford it, is always the
wise
choice.
Well, I wouldn't be
choice.
Without it. I mean, I've always had it, but I think there are limitations to what
the other
really can
thing
do.
The other thing I would mention is that a lot of people I talked with the Red Cross are like, oh, that's so expensive and the deductible's so huge. Because back in the day when they first started the Earthquake Authority, which was, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, the deductibles were huge and it was really expensive. But they've come down a lot in recent years. And so it's an it's a smart economic choice to get earthquake insurance.
And with the SBA, we'll always showcase the fact that the first line of defense is always insurance. Second line of defense is your personal resources. And if you have one or other, you don't need either FEMA or SBA, as Jared mentioned, right? But the shortage of either one of them, or lack thereof, the SBA is there to assist. So we are able to cover the shortfall of the deductibles.
If you fall into the crack.
Correct.
Right.
So the deductibility is an issue. In other words, if you don't have dollars and cents,
but
it's
a loan. It's not,
so
it's not an
always
insurance
payment.
So you've incurred debt to do that. And let's talk about FEMA assistance for a minute, because people sort of assume, because you hear the number, right? $50 billion. When you break that out across all the people that are getting it, you're getting like $20,000. It's not enough in a lot of cases to pay for all those. So you're paying out of pocket or you're getting a loan from SBA. That's why you need earthquake insurance.
And to showcase it even further, we make sure, SBA makes sure that the litmus test of being able to repay is the domain of the SBA. And if we're not able to help them, we refer them back to FEMA for their other needs assistance. And then from there, FEMA runs with the ball. So between grants and the SBA loans, we try to make the community whole.
There are a lot of options out there. So,
that's correct.
So let me ask you from your perspectives, why is it beneficial to have a singular page online for all these various organizations that do the same sort of thing, work in the same
area? It's pretty complex.
Area.
I mean, as you've talked to about, look at all the different people you've talked to today, right? You've talked to us about a range of different things. There's a lot to do around preparedness, a lot of places to go, a lot of things to learn about. There's a lot to do during the earthquake and afterwards. And
do you think people are undereducated?
Absolutely.
You
people
do?
Are, most
people spend
are
more time on planning a vacation than disaster planning or retirement planning.
You know what? You're right. At least in my house. It's probably true. We probably do spend more time planning a vacation. But I understand that we, as people who live in earthquake country, need to really think in terms of the bigger picture. So we need to spend a little time once a year, once every 6 months, just reviewing what our plans are so we can be prepared, survive, and be able to recover.
It's planning, but it's also doing. That's what I want to add. So I think it was a poll a couple years ago that 95% of Californians expect the big one to hit in their lifetime. 5% of those people self-report as being ready for the earthquake. So a lot of people will have their plan, but if you don't go out and buy the stuff for your earthquake kit, you know, get the dollar bills that you're going to need when the cash registers are all down, have that crowbar, all that stuff, it's not going to do you any good.
Okay, this is a
test.
This is a test. What's in your trunk?
What's in my trunk? I have I have water and a bunch of energy bars.
You have blankets?
I have one blanket.
You have a pillow?
I do not have a pillow.
Are you prepared to sleep for about 3 days in your car?
I am actually prepared.
Okay.
To
what about you?
I am, sir. As a matter of fact, dollar bills, water, change of clothes.
Well, I'm going to come visit your car. Forget your car. You got dollar bills in there, huh?
Yes, sir.
Right, exactly. So the bottom line is we live in a place where we really got to think about what can happen underneath us.
Yeah.
And the implications of that and the long-term dealing with that, because it can be a long time before you recover.
Right.
One last point. The Small Business Administration does have money for mitigation also, and no fees, no points on closing costs. It's a no-obligation loan, low interest, at 2% as most recent Woolsey fire, and we encourage folks to register with FEMA and apply with the SBA to find out what the benefits are post-disaster.
Thanks for joining us, and we really hope you got a lot of information out of the three parts of this serial on earthquakes. Now, let me tell you, if you missed the first two parts or if you missed any of the parts, you can just go back to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, and you can find all three episodes. You can listen to them over and over again if you think that'll be helpful, but the bottom line is this information that we provided could be life-saving. We'll see you next time.